Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Welcome to the 12 days of Christmas. On Cleaning Business Life, we're taking our 12 most popular posts and reposting them for your listening leisure, and that we hope that you are having a great holiday season. We look forward to seeing you in the new year, and that's 2024.
How are you? Besides burning cinnamon rolls this morning, I'm great.
It happens.
Welcome to the ADHD brain.
Have to cook over fire, right?
Right. I'm like, good old ADHD brain. So yeah, like our house sinks like burnt cinnamon rolls. So this is my breakfast now. Yes, I did go to IKEA. Don't laugh at me. This is a horrible breakfast, people. I do not recommend eating IKEA cookies for breakfast.
Sometimes you just have to live a little.
You know what? I took medicine. I gotta have food. But today, I guess we're talking about service areas. And this is a common question in our groups on what service areas to do. How far should I go? How much should I charge if we have to, you know, drive an extra 30 minutes? So we are going to answer your questions today that we have been seeing in a lot of cleaning groups.
Yes. And if you follow our advice, it will immediately save you money, especially if you have W-2s mm-hmm. and you're paying mileage, by clustering your clients together. And this should be done roughly every 6 months or so, because sometimes you take on clients and you're like, oh, I'll do it later. And then you should actually do an audit and then really start to focus on the mileage, because you don't want a cleaning tech to drive, you know, to have more than a 10-mile gap, hypothetically speaking. I know some of you in more rural areas, it's just not physically possible. But 10 miles is the realistic goal to try to achieve. And even in more condensed cities, 10 miles can be a lot, especially with bumper to bumper traffic. Yep. You don't want to pay however you're paying in between houses for extra time if it takes 45 minutes to go 10 miles, right? So you want to have a workaround or cluster them together. So Kim, why don't you start and explain how you did it with your business, and we'll kind of go from there.
So obviously, when you first start your cleaning business, you are anxious to death just to get any clients you can. So the number
right,
thing,
you'll take anybody on.
Anybody on. And the first rule of thumb for the boundary is your prices. And right. We have other pricing ones that we can connect you to. And we can add it to the link, you know, just great basic on the pricing. But when you do your service areas, when I first started, you know, I was like, okay, well, I can go to this. And I live in farmland. If anybody knows where I live and has been to my place, I can hear the planes come over and crop dust.
Right. And that's always fun at midnight.
They do it early in the morning. Thank goodness.
It's always in the dark.
You know, you live in a country when you have tractors that are in front of you and they're going 10 miles an hour.
Right.
But living in a rural area that I live in, I had to make sure that I really was careful. So when I was cleaning by myself solo, I would go and do my areas. Well, then I started getting people in like all these different towns around me in each town. So like I would be maybe cleaning and I'll just get out my town there, cleaning in Windsor. And then I'll get, that takes me 20 minutes to drive there to Windsor. And then I would get another client that is in Loveland, and that would take me another 20 minutes to get to. So it's like, how much drive time was I, you know, doing? And then I started getting clients in Boulder. Well, Boulder from my house was almost an hour.
Right. So, Boulder's far.
Boulder's far. And so before I knew it, I was like bouncing around, and I would get more clients, a little bit more clients in Windsor. So I had to start grouping like my Windsor ones and like Severance. So all ones like around my little town, I would group them. So, and I always tried to do my cleaning clients that were in my town to be last. So that way I'd be right there to come home. I wouldn't have to fight traffic. But as I grew, you know, they were all over the place still. As I grew and I got, you know, employees, because I went from the start, I didn't have 1099s. I think we talked about this. I saved up money, got my W-2s, and it got expensive, because when they arrived to the office, from the office to their jobs, you have to pay them in between jobs for drive time. And I know that's the law here. And so it got really expensive, because they would arrive and I'd be paying them to get their stuff together. And then they would get their stuff in the car, and then they would drive to the first client and clean and be done. And then when they had to go to the next one, and that's more drive time. And at that time I had pairs, I had teams, because I, you know, obviously I was new and I didn't know any better. So not only was I paying one person, I was paying two people for drive time. So they were getting like 20 minutes of drive time. you know, 20, 30 minutes of drive time. And then they would go to Boulder, and it just got way too expensive because I was paying 2 hours of drive time plus the time they're cleaning. So that's how I got started for me. And then I started realizing, like, wow, this is really eating into my payroll. So that's when I knew stuff had to be changed.
Right. And a workaround for having to come to the office, because that's a traditional business model, is to not have them come into the office. And the only time you see them is when it's payday. And they can get their own kits and keep them in their car. And that way you're only paying from house drive time to house. And then you're eliminating the drop off and pick up of the kit. Yep. So that could literally be 30 minutes of your pay. And if you have a team of 16, it adds up. This is something to think about. We won't get into all the technicalities of that. I'm just mentioning it out there for you guys who are listening today. That's something to consider.
And I did switch over doing that. So once I started growing and I started hitting, you know, right around, I want to say right when I was like at 200 clients. That's when I started really like wanting to change to solo. And that's when I would have them keep the kits in their bags and stuff and the vacuum, and they would keep it in their car and they would go to their first job, and then they would hit the time clock at their first job. And that's when I eliminated them coming in and out of the office to save me that money. And let me tell you guys, I saw a huge difference in my payroll doing that. You don't realize that. And when you group them together and you put them in solo, you will see how much money you guys have saved. Like, I guarantee it.
Yes. And it's really when you start to analyze and audit your books and can start to compare and contrast, there's a huge difference, because you have literally, there's two people, you know, coming and then going, and then they're unloading and it's 5 or 10 minutes there, and then they're cleaning and then they have to load it back in. There's chatting away with the client on your dime. Then they're driving, and then they're getting the second guy. Oh, hi, how are you?
Can you imagine that, you guys? Can you imagine being stuck in traffic? So we have Denver. Okay. Denver's a nightmare. I don't care. We were driving home from IKEA. We were driving home from IKEA on Saturday, and it was the afternoon, and we were,
I saw your videos.
More IKEA. I had to get my IKEA fix. And so we were stuck in traffic. So can you imagine paying two people? If you had two people in the car, can you imagine paying them to be stuck in traffic for over an hour? So really know where your space is, because that's a lot of money.
You can waste easily 2 hours a day per team if you're running twos or solos. And then it adds up if you have, you know, 5 or 10 teams going out. That's a lot of money. You really need to audit that. And that's something to consider as you grow and scale. And then Kim had mentioned service areas. You decide what your service areas are. Like, we cover the whole state with my current business model, but there's certain parameters that extend past what that service area is. And we charge a trip charge. Yep. Like, I'm located in Prescott and Prescott Valley. And then there's Dewey Humboldt, there's Chino Valley. And then if you go out even further, there's Seligman and Williams and Flag. So anything that's out of my immediate service area, we charge. Payson is really where a lot of elk is. We charge a service charge, and the normal going rate for a service charge, and don't let people scoff at you, is $75 each way within a certain amount of time. So if you can get to the location in an hour, then it's worth your time. Now, if you're going from like Prescott to Phoenix and it's an hour and a half, not worth your time to charge $75 each way, because you could stay in your service area and easily pick up a job for $150, $200. Easy.
Exactly. And you're thinking $75, that is a lot of money. No, it's not. Let's do a breakdown. Let's do a breakdown of that, you guys. So if you think about it, $75. Yeah, we have to break it down, because people don't, and you have to, and we're going to teach you to break, like, we're going to show you to breaking it down. So when you do explain this to your clients, they'll be like, oh,
right.
Light bulb will go off in your head. That $75 is not a lot, because you're covering one for gas. Two, you're covering, because I know with my employees, I still paid them a little bit of gas, and they can write off the rest. I don't know if you did that. I think you had, did you have 10? You just had 10 in it. 29.
No, I had W-2s, and we paid by the, we paid a lower wage. That's another complicated issue.
That's a whole other
podcast. But they got a lower wage while they drove, because the government gives you 58 or 68 cents a mile. And I did the math. I'm like, I'm just going to pay the lower wage.
Yeah. See, and
you have 17 of them.
Yeah. And it wasn't much, but sometimes I would, you know, like utilize it. But when you do that $75 and you break it down, you're having to pretty much you're paying for the employee's time for them driving there and then the money back. And so that's why you need to charge your worth. And if it is out of your, have a service area. So know when you start your cleaning company, like get a map, print out a Google map or something. I know it sounds silly, but print it out and then like circle the area. So like make a circle and
with a compass. There's Atlas guides too. I just saw one in Staples the other day. My kids are like, what are that? What's that?
And put it on your wall until you get familiar with your service area. And then you can get a map. And if you have a website, you can actually get a map and you could put on where your service area is or write down where your service area is. Mm-hmm. And then you could say, hey, if you're out of us or our service area, we do charge $75 each way for a trip charge. And so have that area mapped out when you first start your cleaning company, because you'll be desperate for jobs.
Yes. And then if you get resistance for the trip charge, say, you know, I feel that my cleaning techs deserve to be paid for their time. Don't you? Question mark.
Boom. You're putting it towards your employees and how you're treating them. Mm-hmm. And that's huge. You know, and if they hear about you and they see your reviews, I mean, there was a couple people that we had to drive up to the mountains in Boulder, you know, and they really wanted our services because, you know, for that area at the time, I know it sounded weird, but there wasn't a whole lot of natural cleaning companies and we were one of the few and he was willing to pay it. And so it literally took us an hour and 10 minutes to get to his house and it was up in the mountains. And let me tell you, oh my gosh. So I had at the time I had my Honda Pilot and it had 4-wheel drive and it snowed and we're okay with the snow. You know, I'm used to driving in snow, so that's not an issue. So we were going, but he's in the mountain, like he's literally in the mountains. So his driveway goes straight up and I'm like, okay, well, we can't do that. It's too slippery, even with my 4-wheel drive. Well, there's another spot where you can go in to park. And then you have to climb. So we'd have to take all of our equipment and climb up the mountain, literally. So we're hiking up this little hill.
So for those of you who are not watching this, she just described going down and over like at a curve. So on a mountain road, literally.
Literally dirt, mountain road, and snow. So I want you to think probably about.
She's bushwhacking it without the bushes.
I got my stuff. Okay, bye. I got my backpack. You know, we got not our backpack. We got our stuff. We got a vacuum we're trying to hold. And we're literally hiking in snow with our Uggs. You know, I've got my Uggs on and I brought a change of shoes. And we're trying to get up this mountain. And so we clean and everything. And so we're trying to back down. Well, my car, and again, my new 4-wheel drive. I love my Honda Pilots. My car started sliding down this mountain. So here it is. And I'm trying to picture this, guy. Those of you who aren't watching. So it's like it's part of the hill. And then at the end of the hill is literally the small little road and the drop off where the mountain is. So I want you to, I think I actually peed myself a little bit as the car was sliding down the mountain. Like it was literally sliding down the hill. And then it was like, I'm not joking you. I probably came within, I want to say 6 feet of going off the cliff. So
white knuckle.
It wasn't just night white knuckling. I told you, I think I peed myself a little bit. And I think my employee did too. I was like, did you pee yourself a little bit? She goes, yeah, I think I did too. Oh
my God, that's so scary.
So yeah, really know your service area. Don't send your employees. If you live in snow, don't send your employees up mountains. If they don't have 4-wheel drive or 4-wheel drive, because you are putting them at risk because it is scary. So really know your service area and what you want to do and what you're capable of doing. So if you feel like trekking through snow, go for it.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Money is all around us and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
We have some mountain roads here, and then we have a lot of dirt roads because there's county and city. So basically, when I get an area that is newer or an area I haven't heard of, which is few and far between, but once in a while, I get one. I'm like, so is your road accessible by car?
Yep.
And then they're like, yeah. I go, how about a car with 6 inches of clearance? That will tell you everything you need to know if your vehicle is going to make it. Like, I have a Scion, a 2011 Scion, which is a work vehicle, and it's lowered, and I've never had it adjusted. So I, on blind faith, believed this gentleman who said I can make it. And this was a cemented driveway. So it pitched at 90 degrees, went down, and then came back up.
Oh,
and there was a whole cul-de-sac there. Well, guess who got stuck down in the pitch?
Oh, no.
After he told me that I would clear it. So then I'm getting yelled at. I'm waiting for the tow truck to come, which is embarrassing. I'm having clients that are not my clients, customers, never customers, neighbors, basically, is what I'm trying to reiterate, come out and start to yell at me because I'm blocking their driveway. God forbid there's an emergency. So there's this panic that's starting to happen because now the access road is being blocked, and God forbid one of them have a heart attack, they're going to sue me. And I'm like, I'm starting to have anxiety, right?
Did you pee yourself a little?
No, I didn't pee myself, but I started to get red in the face because I don't have a good poker face. And there's situations like that. So you need to ask, you know, is your road accessible by car, especially if you don't have, not everyone has four-wheel drive. And even if they do, not everyone knows how to use four-wheel drive. So, and some of them are click on the tires, and some of them you push the button. It just depends on what
those age of you in the snow area.
Like, yeah, those are the snow areas that I'm talking about. You have to have snow.
You Florida tires. People, just hang on. We'll talk about you guys in a minute.
But those are that's a question that you can ask when you are trying to figure out if you're going to be able to access it. We have Potato Patch. There's no way I'm sending a girl out there and to Potato Patch because you have to turn at the yellow house and then remember to turn at the blue house because there's no street signs back there, right?
Yep.
And then when you finally make it to the White House, you're like, there's three white houses. Which one is it? Because they don't have addresses on their buildings. So you're like, knock, knock, knock. Hey, I'm here to clean. Are you the right one? You know, it's just this whole weird dynamic of cleaning in the country, right?
Yeah. And those of you guys that are in Florida, you know, again, when tornadoes come and flood seasons, really know your area where it floods. You know, if it's going to be raining and you guys are expecting flooding, you know that area floods really good. Either call the customer ahead of time or know your service area. Do you really want to service that area that floods?
Right. Flash flood's no fun either.
No. So knowing your service area, what you guys want to do, ask them. It's okay to ask them. Like, I had to ask this guy questions, you know, about where his house was because it was out in the middle of nowhere. Another one too, was just, you know, when you guys grow your home, start really just focusing on one area and you could slowly grow another area or make it on a separate day. So I always had certain days. I don't know about you, Shannon, but when I got started, I had certain days before I started adding employees. I started changing people around. So I'd say Windsor is my Wednesdays days. And Loveland would be my, you know, like Thursdays. And I would really plan all my houses in one day in the same town just to save money.
Oh, totally. Clustering them together on the same day and then clustering them together in the same neighborhood is of the utmost importance. And also when you're doing homes that are far away from your service area, I, because of the remoteness of my area, I require that the client sends me a photograph of their driver's license. God forbid something happened. You know, it does happen occasionally in our industry. Unfortunately, you have to take precautions. So, and if they are unwilling to give you that information, I would not consider doing business with them. They need to show you who they are. And I've sent my driver's license over. I've had people go, I need to see your driver's license. And those are usually little old ladies who are 90 years old who don't want something bad to happen. And I totally get it. But it's only happened, I think, out of the thousands of homes we've serviced, maybe once or twice. Wow. But when you're going remote and you're covering areas, A, always make sure that someone knows where you are. And B, you have a copy of the driver's license and send that driver's license over to someone who can check on you. And if you're out of the service area, at least they have that information. God forbid you come up missing 4 hours later or whatever. You got stuck.
Yeah, you know your time.
Area you're in.
Yeah, because I live out, like, there's towns near me and it's like Timbuktu and I have no reception out there.
Right.
So just, it's safety precaution. So if you're going to be there, let your boss know, you know, or like if you guys are just listening and you guys don't have, like, you have a boss, let them know, or have your employees let you know when they're going to be there. So that way it's just a whole safety issue.
Right. And then most of the times, if they're remote, a lot of those people have landlines still, then you can call the office and say, hey, I arrived. Yep. Right. That's exactly. Always an option. Or if they don't have if they don't have a landline, then you can say, can you email my boss and let them know that I arrived because I have no cell service. And that where these are all workarounds to help you in a moment of safety. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and I've also asked too, because there was a few places I've also asked for the Wi-Fi password mm-hmm. for my clients' homes and so did my employees. So they would have reception there.
Right. And sometimes it doesn't work if there's a lot of trees, but at least you have a step something. Further along down the technology trail.
Exactly.
So you can listen to a podcast or a book or
listen to our podcast.
So that's something to consider. So when you start to get more homes and you're starting to look at your expenditures, and your biggest expenditure is going to be your payroll and your payroll taxes and your workman's comp, that's your largest chunk that you're going to pay out. You really need to start to automize and audit your clients. Yeah. So if you have one client here, I'm just going to use my neighborhood because I'm familiar with it in Prescott Valley. And then you have another client in Seligman, it's 70 miles, right? So I would consider maybe farming that client off to somebody else if it's more than a one-time cleaning. If you have time on your schedule to do a one-time cleaning and you want to charge a premium, by all means, bless you and do it. Just don't service that area because you will never pick up a second client in Seligman. It's a train town. Literally, there's a train that goes through three times a week. There's a main general store, which is the post office. And it's a hardware store too. And then, it's a one for all. And then there's a couple gas stations. And I think there's four restaurants in town. And then the rest are rural houses that are either well water in or they have containers. So is this economically feasible for me? I had someone call me the other day to service Paulden, and I don't have a regular person out there any longer. She moved back down south. And I'm happy to arrange to have someone come out and do a one-time cleaning, but we can't service you regularly. It's just
how far is it from Prescott?
Paulden is
I know where it's at. I know where it's at, but I couldn't remember. I actually have a friend that lives up there.
Right.
Okay, yeah, because I have a friend that lives up there.
Right. And there's actually a huge water line out there. They have a aquifer that they've been trying to do. It's very complicated. But it's 45 minutes each direction and it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. The road has got head-on collisions on it all the time. It's not something I want someone to travel with regularly because people will try to pass on illegal passing. They're speeding. It's a 45 mile an hour like highway and people pass at like 90. And then,
you want to be safe.
it's just not economically feasible. And so we offer it, but we won't do it regularly. So clustering your homes together is really important. So you want to try to look at your houses and your addresses and look for the same zip code. Now, if you live in an area that has large zip code areas, narrow it down to neighborhood.
Yep. And then what part of the town it is.
Tell the client what they're going to get. And it has to be that I agree to, this, because some people are like, I need to have my house serviced on a Friday. Well, monthlies don't get serviced on Fridays. Monthlies get serviced on a Monday or a Tuesday. Bi-weeklies are Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And weeklies are usually Thursdays and Fridays because they have guests coming over and, blah, blah, blah. So that's something to consider when you're starting to cluster all your clients together and you decide, not the client. And if they say, this isn't going to work out for me, then say, I'm really sorry. I'd love to be able to accommodate you, but that maybe there's a workaround, but it's just
Don't bend on you because when they start telling you what days they like, if they say, well, I can only have Fridays. Well, Fridays aren't going to work for you because you're not in their service area. Don't work around them, you guys. Like, unless they are, it's just because once they start telling you that, then they're going to start telling you other things. And then you'll start seeing the red flags come up.
Right off the bat, then that's a red flag to me.
Yep. And so what I've been doing is I'll be like, so I'll tell them about the cleaning and stuff like that before they even get a chance to tell me what day. I was like, we service your area. This is my words. We service your area on this day. So this is the day that your cleaning would be. And that's how I present it to them.
Right.
So, exactly. Before they even get a chance to remotely even ask for a day, I already let them know that that's our service day in your area. So don't be afraid to let them know that, you guys, because it's going to save you money back in your pocket. So
Right. And you're here to create a legacy that you either gift to your family or that you want to sell. And the only way to do that is to make money off each and every job.
Exactly. So I think that's it for today. We just wanted to talk a little bit about service areas and just how to cluster your homes. And we're just telling you right now, if you guys do this, you're going to see a difference in your money. You guys are going to be saving a lot of money.
Oh, easily. $1,500, $2,000 right off the bat.
Yep. I can guarantee it. And I saw it. Once I started doing that, I saw the money and turned around and got a Subaru Ascent. And
Subarus are awesome.
I needed a Subaru after my four-wheel drive Pilot failed me and I went down the cliff. Just kidding.
Yeah, I'm not
I'm not hammering on Pilots. I love Pilots. Just, you know, so.
Scary moments for sure. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. We look forward to speaking with you next week.
And we do have a special guest next week. I'm excited.
Oh, yes.
So I'm very,
she's a clean influencer, right? From what I remember you tell.
Yeah, she's a cleaning influencer. She's super beyond sweet. She has a huge following, which I'm so thankful. And she just loves doing videos and showing people cleaning stuff. So I'm excited to have her next week. So make sure you guys are subscribing and you're downloading and that you guys can follow us. Be sure to share our links when we post them. Be sure to share them everywhere to all the cleaning groups as you can. We want to get our word out that we want to be able to help people. So
definitely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for
tuning in. Thank you guys.
We look forward to your questions. Take care.
Bye.